morning. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. Normally when I teach in a young people setting or sometimes a Christian school, York asks me to come over and teach. They call me on the spare of the moment. One morning they called me and said, would you come over and teach the Bible lesson? I said, well, what's the Bible lesson? They said, 1 Corinthians 11. I said, I'll be over. But turn your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. I just cannot pass up the opportunity with such a good group of young people to minister on my favorite subject, or one of my favorite subjects. And let me just say to the young people here, I do appreciate knowing you this week a little bit. I do appreciate the fact that you sit through the number of meetings you sat through, plus your other workshops, and I appreciate your cooperation with those who are attempting to run the camp. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of obedience. I guess that comes as no surprise to many. But I just wish somehow I could, put it on a computer chip and put it in your brain. Because it's that vital, it's that important. In fact, if you really get a hold of it, or more importantly, if it gets a hold of you, it will change your life. I know that personally because it changed mine. And we read here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We alluded a little bit the other night to the fact that through the disobedience of Adam, all that we see in the way of sin and chaos around us came into the world. You know, it's a sobering thing to think that all of the crime and all of the immorality and all of the war had a starting point. And it all started when a man, according to this chapter, because he was the responsible head of the family and of creation, disobeyed God's commandment. And as a result of disobedience, all of the things that you could sit and enumerate, and I could enumerate, in the way of sin and crime, not only external, but within ourselves. That was the starting point. That was the beginning. And this is exactly what Paul is trying to drive home to us, that by this one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I don't know of any better way of stressing to you the importance of obedience than saying to you, look at what disobedience has brought into this world. You know, every person who's in a hospital right now, every person who's in pain, every family that's broken, every crime that's being committed, every war that's being fought, all stems from that one act. Sobering, isn't it, to think that back there it all started. And I really want to try to impress upon you today, if I can, more importantly, that the Holy Spirit would impress upon you the real vital importance to obedience. And I want to, probably if I can, with the Lord's help, change the way you think about obedience. Because you're probably already thinking, as young people as I would, when someone said, I'm going to speak on obedience, you're already thinking of the fact that, somebody's going to lay down the law and you have to obey the rules and the regulations and things of that nature. That may be true, but that's not what I want to drive home. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. And while you're turning there, let me say to those who are younger, my heart goes out to you. Because I think you're living in a very wicked, wicked world and age. When I grew up, there was plenty of temptations and plenty of problems, and there always have been since the entrance of sin. But I can't help but think that things are worse. And sometimes we who are older will say, nah, things are no worse. They were bad when we were little. But the Bible does say at the end times things will go worse and worse. And I look at what's going on in the family today. And that's why the ministry of our brother is so vital. We, at Boys Camp at Greenwood Hills, for example, we have a young boy who's on his fifth father. I could tell you other tragic stories, but I could also tell you stories of young people who just run right over their parents, physically in some cases. And so it's a wicked world. And I trust this truth, if you will grasp it and it gets a hold of you, will spare you some of those kind of tragedies. 22nd chapter of Genesis. This is a unique chapter. You know, it deals with God's asking Abraham to offer up Isaac. And in this chapter, there are three very vital words in Scriptures used for the first time. In verse 2, the word love is used for the first time in Scripture, and it's the love of a father for his son. And then in verse 5, there's talk, and Abraham talks to the young men about he and his son going yonder and worship. And this is the first use of the word worship in the Bible. But then we come over to verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And that's the first use of the word obeyed. And the word here in the original language means to hear intelligently. It means really to hear what God said and heed it. And in the Bible, anytime it talks about hearing, it includes the thought of heeding. Because it says there are those who have ears and hear not. In other words, they hear the physical sounds, just as you hear the physical sounds, the vibrations this morning that are causing your ear to move and function and pound and so forth. And you can hear that, but not hear it. You know, when our parents speak to us and they say, take out the trash, you know, you hear the sounds. But when you don't take out the trash, you really didn't hear, in the biblical sense of the word hear. The Bible tells us not only to be hearers, but doers of the word. See, that's the point. The thought of hearing is doing, is heeding what you hear. So the thought here is to hear intelligently. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. This is a great verse when we grasp the thought of obedience. In verse 23, the Lord Jesus entered into a boat and his disciples followed him. I might say that's what disciples do, is they follow the Lord. And of course there arose a mighty wind, and you remember what happened. And they were afraid in verse 25. They said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why do ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now apparently on the Sea of Galilee, within minutes, storms could come over the mountains, surrounding mountains, and stir the water tremendously. I don't know if you've ever been in a storm at sea. I had an occasion coming home on a troop ship from Europe, and it wasn't World War II, just so you don't put my age too high. I can remember coming home in January, coming through a storm, and I was up. Normally, when you sleep on a troop ship, you're sleeping below the waterline, inside the boat, but below the waterline. Because I was a privileged character, I was up way up top, working the night shift in the dispensary, portholes, you know, up where there's fresh air. And I can remember water breaking through portholes. And I can remember cabinets being ripped, just ripped right out of the wall and sent flying across the room. Water is very powerful, and of course we were talking about this morning in our prayer time downstairs, those who are going through the Mississippi floods, for example, and the way it can just take a home and lift it right off its foundation like it's a toy. So this water was really stirred up, and the Lord Jesus, of course, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You ever try to take water that's in motion and quiet it down? And the men marveled, no wonder, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now here we have, I think, a really neat definition for the word obedience, and I trust this is, if you get nothing else, you get the definition. Because in the original language, this word is made up of two words. One meaning to hear. Notice the similarity to the Old Testament word. Meaning to hear. The second part is the word for underneath, or under. So the seas and the waves heard under him. To hear under means that we, when someone speaks to us, as the Lord spoke to the seas, we recognize the authority of the person over us. You see, that's the real essence of obedience. We think of action. You know, you're told to put the lights out by 11 and turn the TV off. And so all these kind of things, we think of the action. What I want to stress to you and all of us this morning is that obedience is first an attitude of listening. It's how do I listen to the person who's speaking to me, who's over me in authority? How do I receive that message? What is the attitude with which I receive it? Do I hear under? Do I actually recognize their authority? Do I listen to them as a subordinate and hear what they're saying to me in that relationship? You see, if we don't recognize the authority of the person over us, we really can't be obedient. It's possible to conform. You know, you're fortunate in this state in that your speed limit is 65 on your interstate, because in Pennsylvania it's 55. Now, you know, if you come out of a state where you've been driving 65 and all of a sudden you hit the speed limit and it's 55, you don't really care to do 55. But there are many people who conform. In other words, they drive at 55 because there's a fear of the policeman sitting on the side with the radar who will give them a sizable ticket. So they conform. And they're actually blessed by conforming. Let me say this. There are people in the world today who actually pattern their lives. For instance, I'll take the Amish people in Pennsylvania. Aspects of the Bible they practice. They conform to that, in a sense. And they're blessed for it. But in a sense, when you drive at 55, if your heart's really saying, you know, this is dumb. This is stupid. This is ignorant that I have to drive 55. It doesn't make any sense. But I'll do it anyhow, because if I don't do it, I might get caught. See, that's not obedience. That's conformity. Obedient heart says, the authorities of this land say this. Or my mother, or my father, or the teacher, or the policeman, whoever it may be, or the camp director. To hear under. Go back to Romans chapter 5, and we'll see another interesting thing. I hope brings this truth home a little clearer. For by one man's disobedience. Well, what's that word? If obedience means to hear under, interestingly, in the Greek language, disobedience means to hear alongside of. Now, it's easy to picture what the Bible's telling us. It's simply this. Obedience means, and I'll illustrate with my hands, that I hear under. I'm here. The authority's over me. I listen to them. I respond. I recognize their authority. I listen to their instructions, recognizing. But disobedience, I elevate myself alongside the authority and say, you have no authority over me. Why should I follow your instructions? You see, when your parents say take out the trash and you don't, you think it's just, well, I didn't take out the trash. You know what God sees? God sees you elevating yourself to the level of your parents and saying, Don't tell me what to do. I don't recognize your authority over me. And I'm not going to do what you told me to do. You see, there's an attitude there. In fact, when we go back to Genesis 3, this is exactly what we see. But before we do that, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. And verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, who didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. Notice the elevation. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. As far as the Bible records for us, the first sin to come into the universe was really that of disobedience. There is this elevation of Satan to, in his own mind, a higher level where he wanted to be like God or above God, and of course he fell. So it isn't only entrance of sin into the human family, the human race. It's even into the universe with Satan, amongst the heavenly host. There is this rebellion. There is this refusal to recognize the authority of God and this elevation of self. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 with that in mind. For it was in the garden that Satan came in the form of a serpent. And the serpent at that time was very beautiful and colorful. And approached the woman. And, of course, enticed her in the sense of to eat the fruit, manipulating the word of God. And he says in verse 5, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Let's think about that phrase. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. Does that mean that we, Adam and Eve, would experience evil? Well, did God experience evil? No. So it can't be experiencing evil, because that's not how they would be like God, in the fact that they would experience evil. Would it mean that for the first time they would know that something is good and something is bad? No, because they were told to eat of the tree was bad. So they knew there was such a thing as that which was wrong and that which was right. The interesting thing about the word know is, in this case, it can have the idea of declaring. In other words, you can be like God and declare what's right and what's wrong. Now you see what happens when we disobey? This is the enticement that was put out to them. You can be like God and you can set the standards. And isn't that what mankind's doing today? Playing God and setting our own standards. And every time we disobey God, believe it or not, this is what we do. We play God. And we set our own standards. And we declare what's right and what's wrong. And that's why this country and this world's in the mess it's in. And the first sin that comes into the human race is this. It's disobedience. Let's think what happened. Do you really think the issue, do you think all the sin and the war and everything we talked about is over a piece of fruit? I mean, do you think eating a piece of fruit would bring about all the chaos we got here? It isn't the fruit, is it? It's God looked upon the heart. And what did he see? He sees Eve and Adam rebelling. He sees them elevating themselves, no longer hearing under. They elevate themselves and fail to acknowledge the authority of God in their life. And they partake of it. And that's what God sees. And that's what sin is. Sin is doing my will. Sin is rebellion against God. And back in the garden, that's what God saw. And that's what's brought the world to where we are today. So remember this definition. It means to hear under. It's an attitude with which we listen to those who are over us. And of course, ultimately, to the Lord Himself. It was the beginning of Satan's downfall. It was the beginning of the downfall of the human race. But turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. It isn't only the beginning of man's downfall. And we'll just read a verse there, and then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll just read verse 7 for connection of chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It isn't only the downfall of man, it's the damnation of man. Why will people be in hell? Because they obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We tend to think only of the gospel as an offer. We think God is offering men salvation. And in a sense, that's true, of course. But when Paul preached, he said, God is commanding men everywhere to repent. When God declares the message of the gospel, he expects men to obey it. What's that mean? He expects them to listen under it, to recognize the source, to recognize the authority of God speaking, that they are to repent and to believe. And when they refuse to hear it, it will lead to their ultimate damnation. You know why men, women, children are in hell? They have bad ears. You know, most of us, if we were given a choice of losing our sight or losing our hearing, would prefer to lose our hearing. But sight will never get you to heaven. But your ears can. It's through hearing. It's through listening. And I want to say to you as young people, you may think this really isn't that important. But you know, statistically speaking, there's probably a very good chance that one of you under the age of 20 in this room will wind up in prison. And you say, oh, it never happened. Prisons have young people who profess to know the Lord. And they're there if you talk to them quite often because they failed to listen. They were told. They were warned. They were instructed. But they knew better. It's vital. Your eternal destiny depends on your obedience in listening to the gospel. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm taking you through this quickly for sake of time, but I think you can see the essence, the importance of the subject. You know, the Lord never asks us to do anything that, first of all, he doesn't give us the grace to perform. And in this case, not only does the Lord not ask us to do something that he has given us the grace to perform, he's done it himself. This is a great chapter of the humiliation of the Lord and the fact that he came down from heaven and took upon himself the form of a servant, verse 7, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now let me suggest to you in verse 8, it isn't the fact that he went to the cross for our sins. It isn't the thought of redemption there. The point is how far how far would this attitude of listening take him? How far would his willingness to listen under to the will of God take him? And the verse tells us it took him not only down to earth, it took him to Calvary. Now, who are you and who am I in compared to the Lord Jesus? If the Son of God, the Creator of this universe, is obedient, listens to the Father's will, recognizes because he voluntarily subjects himself to that will, he listens in a subordinate position, all the way to the point of going to Calvary. Could we say the Lord has ever asked us to do that? No. Well, then if the Lord Jesus himself could come down in obedience and go to Calvary in obedience, we have the perfect example. It's been demonstrated for us in the Lord. You know, when your parents, your school teacher, your camp director, whoever it may be, ask you to do something, it will always be far, 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 far less than Calvary. And yet the Lord was willing to be that obedient, to listen under, to hear under to that extent. And that's what this writer is trying to, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is trying to drive home to us, was the mind and the attitude of the Lord Jesus. He was so obedient and put himself under the will of God to such an extent it took him to Calvary. It says that he learned obedience. Even though he was a son, he experienced it. He was here and went to Calvary. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 11. For not only do we have a demonstration, not only is obedience responsible in a sense for the downfall of mankind and Satan and man's damnation, it is also the way you and I demonstrate our faith. You know, you and I may say we have faith in the Lord Jesus. We have faith in God. And I want to repeat, faith is believing God when He speaks. Many people believe in God, but they don't believe God when He speaks. And the point is, when God speaks, He speaks through His Word. Do we believe His Word? Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, moved with fear, that's reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's see if we can paint the picture. The Lord speaks to Noah, and he says, I want you to build a ship. This ship will be 1.5 football fields long. It'll be 0.5 football field wide. It'll be 3 stories high. Remember, Noah did not have Black and Decker, didn't have all the tools and drills and electricity available. And God says to him, build this ship, not a boat, a ship. And as far as we know, to this point in time, it had never rained. There was a mist that surrounded the world, apparently, from Genesis chapter 1. And now the Lord comes to Noah and says, build the ship. Can't you see Noah kind of looking around and no body of water, no bluestone lake or anything like that. And God says, build this huge ship. And Noah works for how many years? 120? A long time. And you think after the first decade, you wonder, you know, does God know what he's talking about? And after 50 years, you begin to wonder, you know, this is crazy. You might begin to talk like that. Not Noah, because he believed God. See how simple it is? He believed God. He listened under to God's command. He recognized God's authority and God's wisdom, and he built it, you know, and it ultimately saved his life and his family's life. But look at the next one, Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. Envision your home. Someone comes up, knocks on your door, and says, I have the U-Haul here. We're ready to move you. Your first inclination would be to say, where are you moving me to? And do you have any brochures? I'd like to see the kind of homes they got in that neighborhood. See what we could do to, you know, what's it going to be like? It says, Abraham obeyed God. When God said, move out, Abraham didn't even know where he was going. But because God said it, and he had an attitude of obedience, he listened to God when he spoke. He moved. Let me give you a principle, all of us, and particularly for those who are younger, because when we're young, one of the most common questions we ask is a one-word question. And maybe your parents aren't college educated, and maybe they don't know computers and all that. So when they say something, we say, why? Like, when we ask that, that's kind of like, sounds dumb to me. You want to give me an explanation? I don't understand why you want me to do this, and give me an explanation. But when we have an obedient attitude, we don't ask the why questions. When God speaks, Abraham went out not knowing where he's going. We don't have to know all the answers, do we? We don't have to know everything why and where and when and how come when we have the obedient attitude. And that's what Abraham had. You know, that's how you demonstrate your faith in God. We can say we have faith, but when God speaks, do we ask why? When God speaks, do we believe him? Do we listen under, recognizing his authority and his wisdom? How about when our parents speak? How about when our teachers speak? How about when those in the assembly who are in oversight speak? We need obedient attitudes. So it's a demonstration of our faith. Let's go to John chapter 14. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let me illustrate with an illustration that I've often used, and I think it's easy to see. When my wife and I travel, and she's at boys camp right now doing crafts, but when we travel, our daughters, one of them is married now, but our daughters were of age where we could leave them at home. They were in their 20s and upper teens. And suppose we left home on this trip, and I said to them, listen, while we're gone, absolutely no one else in the house. And absolutely no pizza parties. So we leave. They give us a hug and a kiss. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, Dad. We love you. Off we go. Now, we're not there. How are they going to demonstrate their love to us while we're not there? They can't come up to us and hug us and kiss us and say, we love you, Dad. We love you, Mom. There's only one way they're going to show us they love us when we're not there, and that's by obedience. You know, we walk back. We come back home. We open the front door, and the first thing we smell is pepperoni. Then we see all the pizza boxes laying around, all the empty soda bottles. And they run up, hey, Mom, Grad, Dad, good to see you. We really love you. In the midst of all these pizza boxes. You see, their words are meaningless, aren't they? If they really loved us, they would have obeyed us in our absence. You know the Lord Jesus is absent? We can say, and if we mean it, that's fine. Lord, we love you. We can't hold on to him. We can't hug him. We can't grasp him. We can say, Lord, we love you. But he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You want to demonstrate that you love the Lord? Keep his commandments. And one of the commandments he has given us in his word is this, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You want to show the Lord you love him? When the doors of the assembly are open, you're there. And there are many other things in Scripture. We can demonstrate to the Lord we love Him by the fact we obey His Word. If we ignore His Word and say we love Him, that's inconsistent. They're not congruent. So it's the way we demonstrate our love to the Lord. And for sake of time, if we go through other Scriptures, you'll see it's the way you demonstrate you actually have divine life. For this is how we know that we know Him, that we keep His commandments. If we are not obedient, if we don't listen to the Lord, if we don't recognize His authority in our life, 1 John would tell us there's a real question whether we know Him. Let me just close with this thought. If you really want to discover blessing in your life, it comes through obedience. If you want to discover horror and trouble and problems, it comes through disobedience. And when you're young, you're going to be faced with these decisions every day. You see, you're going to be faced with being cool or being obedient. You're going to be faced with being in or out. You're going to be faced with, but I don't really want to do that. Or I really prefer to do this. Or, I don't understand why my parents tell me to do that. The point is, if you will learn obedience, if you will develop an attitude that when someone in authority speaks, and particularly, of course, the Lord, and the Lord has delegated, by the way, His authority to the policeman, to the government, to your parents, to the elders. That's all the Lord's authority, you know. And you can learn to hear under. If you can learn that when they speak, you listen. And you take your directions with a recognition of their authority, God-given authority over you, you'll find blessing in your life. I said to you there are many young people in prison. I think they would all tell you if they had listened, they wouldn't be there. So when you think of obedience, don't just think of rules and regulations. Think of an attitude of listening under those in authority. And above all, of course, to God and to His Word. So take that definition, to listen under. Put it into practice. I could give you a personal story, and let's see. Yeah, I got a minute or so. I was, at one time, in charge of manufacturing for a company, of a division, and one day they just sold the division off, and I was without a job. Well, across the street from that plant was a pharmaceutical company, and one way or another, the Lord led me over there and provided employment for me, although I was no longer in management. I was just an engineer. You know, I was so used to giving orders. I was so used to telling people under me, we need to do this, we need to do that, don't do this, do this, don't run that order, move these people from here to there, turn that machine off, turn this one on, do everything. That's the way it was. But now all of a sudden, the table was turned, and people were telling me what to do. You can see that's a struggle. You know, believe it or not, it's at that exact moment that I was studying the word obedience. It was at that moment, at that point in my life, I wrote that little book on obedience. Because, let me tell you a story real quick. It struck me so forcefully that I was not in command and I needed to take orders and I needed to learn to listen under. And, I put it to practice. That didn't mean, when the boss said to me, do this, that I automatically said, yeah, okay, I'll do that, even though I knew it would blow the building up or something. But I took those orders. And, in 10 months, I was promoted to a level of management in that company where I got 3 weeks vacation instantly. I want to tell you, young people, obedience works. You learn to listen under. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, we We just ask this morning that you would, through your Holy Spirit, embed this truth into each of our hearts and minds. Lord, may we have obedient attitudes and spirits and hearts that take your word as your word without questioning. And we listen under, knowing your authority and your wisdom and your love. Lord, we pray particularly for these young people in our midst. They're living in a rebellious age when all around them and within their own hearts there's rebellion against authority. Lord, we pray that you may spare them the agony that rebellion brings, that they would learn to develop an attitude of obedience and listening under to God-given authority. And so we commit this word to thee, and we pray, Lord, that it would reap dividends in the lives of each of us. And so we just commit thy word to thee in the remainder of this day, and we pray in the name and for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we take a few minutes break. Is that it, Herman?